The Air Force jet carrying President Eisenhower is just at this moment approaching a landing at Andrews Air Force Base, 15 miles outside of Washington, bearing President Kennedy back from his mission to Europe, a meeting there with Premier Khrushchev, with British Prime Minister Macmillan, with French President de Gaulle. The jet has now touched down, is decelerating on the long runway, and in a few minutes, President Kennedy will step through the doorway and tonight make a report to the nation on these series of meetings. NBC Radio will follow through from the start a week ago when President Kennedy departed here through the report tonight, bringing you a detailed account of all this diplomatic event. The plane is now taxiing along the runway and will be drawing up in front of the operations hangar at Andrews Air Force Base in just about 2 minutes. There is a long list of dignitaries which is just moved out in front, led by Vice President Lyndon Johnson, who is now shaking hands with Speaker Sam Rayburn, Labor Secretary Arthur Goldberg. This is Herb Kaplow speaking from a platform near where the President's jet plane will stop. It is a muggy, gray day, the temperature in the mid-70s. It looks like perhaps later in the day the sun will break through the overcast. Vice President Johnson now talking to Goldberg. Speaker Rayburn talking to the Dean of the Diplomatic Corps, the Honorable Guillermo Sevilla Sacasa, the Ambassador of Nicaragua. There are probably about 250 people standing behind a rope barrier waiting to see Mr. Kennedy. Mrs. Kennedy is remaining in Europe with her younger sister, Princess Radziwill. Mrs. Kennedy, the princess, this Princess Radziwill's husband, are expected to make a short visit to Greece. There are other members of the diplomatic corps standing in line. Beyond then, members of the Congress. Senator Sparkman, Senator Mansfield, who is the Senate Majority Leader, Senator Hubert Humphrey, the Senate Whip for the majority, Senator Everett Dirksen, the Republican leader in the Senate, Senator Wiley, who is the ranking Republican on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Senator Fulbright, who is the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Senator Hickenlooper of Iowa, Republican, Congressman McCormick, who is the Democratic floor leader in the House, Congressman Charlie Halleck, who is the Republican leader in the House. There are three helicopters standing by. Perhaps you can hear the sound of the propellers in the background. The President will climb aboard one of them and be whisked the 15 miles or so to the White House. He worked on part of his trip from England. He left just after midnight, Eastern Daylight Time last night, stopped for a few hours in Goose Bay, Labrador, left there a little more than 3 hours ago, and is now arriving here in Washington. There has been relatively little detailed news of what happened in the Kennedy-Khrushchev talks. The President presumably will give his impressions in greater detail when he addresses the nation tonight. We remind you, of course, NBC will broadcast it 7 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. That high-pitched noise is the airplane nearing us, being led by a yellow truck. On the side of the airplane, United States of America, replacing the Air Force identification, which had been there previously. Two ramps now are being rolled up to the airplane, one to the forward compartment, one to the rear compartment. Vice President Johnson is leading the dignitaries to the foot of the ramp, being shown there by a protocol officer, by an agent of the Secret Service. Two members of the airplane crew are now taking their place at either side of the foot of the ramp. Just behind Mr. Johnson, Speaker Rayburn, then the Honorable Sevilla, Guillermo Sevilla Sacasa, other members of the diplomatic corps, all of this, of course, conforming to the rigid Washington protocol. There is Undersecretary of State Chester Bowles in the line conversing with the director of the U.S. Information Agency, Edward R. Murrow. The president is now appearing in the doorway, holding a hat in his left hand, and now moving down, being applauded. He shakes hands with Vice President Johnson, with Mr. Rayburn, with Ambassador Sevilla Sacasa, with other ambassadors who are immediately behind the Nicaraguan ambassador. Also coming down the steps behind the president, agent of the Secret Service, Mr. Kennedy's aide, Ted Sorensen, his associate news secretary, Andrew Hatcher. Mr. Goldberg and Mr. Udall, Secretary of Labor and of Interior, respectively, shaking hands with the president as he continues his way down the line, says a few words to a member of the Post Office Department, Mr. Brawley, now with Senator Mansfield, with Senator Humphrey, with whom the president had his breakfast in the West Virginia and Wisconsin primaries, as you may recall, in those preliminary gyrations before the convention and the election. And now Mr. Kennedy is talking with Senator Dirksen, perhaps the most prolonged conversation so far in this parade down the line of dignitaries. And also standing in there, Mr. Johnson, Senator Wiley now greeting the president. There is Secretary of State Rusk shaking hands with Senator Dirksen now. It seems that the leader of the loyal opposition is being given considerable time. One wonders, of course, what position the Republican Party will take in the follow-up to this meeting with Khrushchev, the follow-up with the meetings with the French President de Gaulle and British Prime Minister Macmillan. The president has just shaken hands with the Internal Revenue Commissioner, Mortimer Kaplan, with other members of his staff. There are still about 15 people to go through, the rear end of the line being filled by the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Lyman Lemnitzer, General Shoup, who is the Commanding General of the U.S. Marine Corps, General Curtis LeMay, the newly appointed Chief of Staff of the Air Force, and now General Shoup is shaking hands with the President, General LeMay. Photographers moving in and making their usual pictures. It isn't certain yet whether the President will speak. He is now making his way back to the past the lectern, being escorted by his military aide, Brigadier General Ted Clifton. President now walking alone, going back and grabbing Senator Dirksen by the arm and saying more to him. And this is a huddle with President Kennedy's former senatorial colleagues, Senator Humphrey, Senator Sparkman, Senator Fulbright, Senator Dirksen. And it looks like Senator Dirksen and Senator Fulbright may escort the president back to the White House. At least they're standing off to the side when the president beckoned them. Senator Fulbright, we repeat, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Senator Dirksen, the ranking Republican in the United States Senate. Mr. Kennedy has demonstrated a keen awareness of the necessity for conferring with the opposition, along with the members of his own party, of course. As a member of the Senate, he is familiar with the conduct and the manner in which the two-party system works and is always trying to get the support of the opposition. He has just spoken with Congressman Halleck. Now the president is moving away from the airplane. To his left, Senator Dirksen. To his right, Senator Fulbright. The president stops for a moment and talks to McGeorge Bundy, who is the presidential aide for national security matters. And Mr. Kennedy, still holding his dark hat, wearing a dark single-breasted suit, moving just under the spinning propeller of the Marine helicopter. And now he starts to ask Senator Dirksen to go in first. Senator Dirksen lets the president go in, then Senator Fulbright, and now Mr. Dirksen. There was a slight blaze in one of the helicopters, one section of the helicopter, just a very slight, which was immediately put out. We were not able to tell whether this is just the normal sort of flame that shoots up, as so often happens in airplanes when the engines are set off. But everything is all right now. And there will be three helicopters bearing members of the president's party. The president is now in the first helicopter. The dignitaries are now moving away. This little fire was evident just for a moment or so before the president's plane landed. The door is now closed on the Marine helicopter. There is the seal of the presidency on the door, which has just been slid shut. And so President Kennedy is now in the helicopter. He probably will use these few minutes between here and the White House, and perhaps in the White House office himself, to confer about his meetings with two of the leading senatorial figures, the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, the ranking Republican in the United States Senate. And now the president's helicopter starts to move away. It is followed by an army helicopter bearing other members of the Secret Service and of the immediate president's party. It is not yet airborne. And so exactly 1 week after departing Washington, President Kennedy returns after having conferred with the Soviet Premier Khrushchev, British Prime Minister Harold Macmillan, the first meeting with the French President Charles de Gaulle. That was the first of the three meetings with the three chiefs of state. The helicopter is not yet taken off. It is now being blurred from our vision by the Air Force jet, which is between the helicopter and our vantage point. NBC, as stated before, will carry the president's report at 7 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time tonight. The two helicopters are now airborne, and Mr. Kennedy will be returning to the White House in just a few moments. Mrs. Kennedy remaining in Europe to visit with her sister and brother-in-law. The president, of course, was godfather at the christening of his young niece in London yesterday. The president's helicopter is probably now about 300 feet off the ground, making its way toward Washington. Andrews is just about 15 miles from the White House. Helicopter is not yet out of sight. Here on the ground, number of limousines bearing the dignitaries, the ambassadors, the members of the Senate and House, other members of the president's party, making their way back to the city of Washington. Mr. Kennedy, thus completing his second mission abroad, the first one to Canada just prior to his departure for Paris, Vienna, and London. Again, NBC will broadcast Mr. Kennedy's report tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. Herbert Kaplow, NBC News at Andrews Air Force Base, just outside of Washington.